Alrighty then. Another edition of the Film Drunk Broadcast live from the Frat Quarters in San Francisco. Whole crew in the house. Plus a couple guests coming on later. Very exciting. We're going to have Laramie and the news guy who interviewed the Hatchet Man.
Yeah, the homeless Hatchet Man.
His name is?
His name's Jessup Riesbacher, or Riesbacher, I'm not sure.
I almost remember that.
Yeah.
Close enough. The whole crew's in the house. Superblogger Vince.
That's me.
Future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan in the house.
Smash!
Squirrel Master Brett.
Hello, friends.
Hello. I feel like crap, so if you guys don't like me out there, then... Oh, yeah, I got some food poisoning last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
From where?
From my own cooking.
Oh.
I food poisoned myself.
Self-poisoning.
I don't know. It was either salmon or vegetables, because that's all I ate.
And I'm going to go with salmon on that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Here's the thing. It's almost always vegetables.
Yeah, but his vegetables are usually in a bag in frozen pieces.
And then cooked,
no,
which threw me off.
They weren't frozen. They were
oh,
just,
really?
Yeah, not frozen.
Yeah. Usually it's the salsa. It's almost always the fucking salsa.
No salsa, fortunately.
How do you live? No salsa? What the fuck does that even mean?
My bad.
Put salsa on everything, Ben.
That's pretty much the worst way to spend a night is to go into bed and then keep going to the bathroom to either poop and or puke.
You can't stop shitting.
Yeah. It's a really, really good feeling. But so I basically slept all day. It was awesome.
Sleeping in the bathtub covered in your shit.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt on Monday, really.
After drinking too much for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's usually called a hangover?
Yeah, that's true. It was more like alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, okay. Fair
enough.
Here's the deal. Niners started losing. Someone decided they should pass around a bottle of Jameson, and we thought, maybe if we drink this, they'll start playing better. And for a while, it worked.
Almost, so you had to keep drinking.
Almost till the last play, it worked.
So you had to keep drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at like a somewhat civilized Super Bowl party. There was like classy hors d'oeuvres, and someone's parents were there.
Like bows, little bows on them? What are classy hors d'oeuvres?
Yeah, and I was just a miserable piece of shit, and I went and sulked in the corner when the power went out. But then, they started coming, and I just kept drinking more, and they kept asking me, like, my expert opinion, and then finally, the kick return, like, what happened there? And I'm like, we didn't cover the goddamn kick! I don't know! I didn't play special teams!
They wouldn't let me do the tank arm.
Yeah. The problem with the Super Bowl is that as people who don't normally watch football get drunker, their comments get more asinine. And if you actually have a vested interest in how the game plays out, them saying, well, he's just not good at the ball, just gets more and more grating.
Well, especially if the game's getting closer as it gets progressively on, and you're like, early in the game, you're like, well, we're going to fucking lose anyway, so...
Yeah, and then we started coming back, and when Kaepernick scrambled for that touchdown, I jumped up and started cheering.
Yeah.
And then the woman whose house I was at, she has this little shit dachshund who's an asshole.
All dachshunds are assholes.
Yes, dachshunds are terrible.
Jumped up and fucking bit me.
Oh, wow,
I got bit by a dog on the leg.
Wow.
I have never met a pleasant dachshund.
No, they're terrible. It's like not even worth having a dog if you're going to have a stupid dachshund.
The asshole breed of dog.
They really are.
My old girlfriend's roommate had one with a snaggle tooth. That was just such a protective little dog around her, and then such a cowering little bitch when she was gone. So I just like go knock its food bowl over or something whenever she was gone. It's like, what? What? That's the shape you are. You are a small hot dog shaped animal.
It's like, well, we bred these to be really angry, and we basically bred a dog with a Napoleon complex.
Yeah. What were they used for? Why would you make a dog like that?
They're for digging in holes and getting rodents out. Like
they're
gophers.
Ratters, right?
Yeah, and just gophers and all kinds of moles
or,
and shit like that.
Or a plumbing dog, like a dog Roto-Rooter where you just shove it down your toilet and then don't really care.
He just eats hairballs.
It can only go one way and no one's sad that it's gone.
Could it also be used to like...
They all empty out in the Pacific out some sewer pipe. Just 100,000 dots.
You can put a rope on its tail. Eh. I'm good.
Kind of an asshole.
I'm just going to poke him with a stick until he squirts into the well.
You think it's going to come back?
Maybe.
There's not a lot of U-pipes in the sewer system.
Let's just say I'm not going to hold my breath.
So yeah, that was pretty much a pretty big disappointment.
Yeah, that sucked balls. But you drank a lot of Jameson.
Yeah, I did.
So that's cool.
I actually had to watch it on SportsCenter to remember like the last 5 minutes of the game.
Did you drink more Jameson?
Just to relive it? Yeah.
Just trying to get him to win.
It's a vicious cycle.
I know.
Every time you drink Jameson, they have a better chance.
If only Jameson sent you back in time.
Sort of does.
Yeah.
I mean, in the sense that you don't know what happened.
It removes the future?
It removes the present.
Yeah.
So we got quite a few emails.
We got a lot of emails about palindromes.
We did, yeah.
Thanks for that.
What was the oscillating...
Oh, that one. Read the one with the...
Well, there was the whole Weird Al song.
Go so hang a salami, I'm a man of
power. Dog.
Oh, Satan Oscillate My Metallic Sonatas. That's pretty good.
What about the dildo one?
It
was like a one-liner.
Who,
one-liner email. It was like a one-liner email.
Everybody sent us emails.
Fine.
I don't remember where it is. We got a couple stories. This one's from Natalie. I just had the most awkward workplace encounter to date on this job. I work on the medical college side of a major hospital in Philly. The chair of our department has been known to pace up and down the halls and casually fart. A coworker keeps me posted.
Sounds like your perfect job, Vince.
Yeah, I could do that. I could walk through a hall crop dusting people. A coworker also keeps me posted when he crop dusts the kitchen in the back of the office. We are all equally disgusted and amused by this. Offices are boring. For some reason today, he stopped to make some chit-chat about the Oscar nominees for Best Picture. He likes to see them all and starts talking about Tarantino. I'm on board maintaining intent eye contact because this is the boss of all bosses, so when he speaks, I listen. He starts talking about Pulp Fiction and without breaking a stare or flow of conversation, just hauls off and lets loose a machine gun series of farts. Of course, I played it cool, turned 25 shades of red and wanted to be anywhere but there, and steered the conversation to Inglourious Basterds because I need my job. Ugh. So what the fuck? Is this some grand power play? What is this man thinking?
Brendan, first of all, what would a machine gun style fart be?
Just like...
Okay, just checking.
That'd be my guess.
Whenever Brendan does that, I think of his dog, Smokey, who, when you make fart sounds with your mouth, he jumps up and tries to like eat your mouth. Because I think somehow Brendan's love of farts has transferred to his dog.
Yeah. He's like, what's that fart? I want that in my mouth. So one of my first jobs was this really weird job where I worked for this guy. And he sort of misrepresented what he did. You know, he talked about like training elite athletes and all this stuff. But really, he did this weird sort of holistic therapy with them. And he was just one of the strangest people I've ever met in my entire life. And he would fart all the time, like while he was talking to people. And for the longest time, he just did it in front of me where he'd be like telling me something. He'd be like, so I want you to take these files over here. And then he'd just be like, rrr. Like he always had these really creaky farts.
Like a door in a horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so bizarre. And then finally one time a client was over and he was like talking to him and I was like helping them do something. And then he just farts and the guy just looks at me and I'm just kind of, I give him this look like, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that was like my first job after football.
Like, what's wrong with this guy kind of look?
Yeah.
You're like, don't look at me, man. Yeah, it's not coming out of my butt.
Yeah.
That's not my butt.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think there's certainly people who just fart and they don't give a shit.
I think,
especially if it's at a hospital and he's a doctor. Because guy was a doctor and a lot of times doctors are weird.
Doctors are bad at giving a shit a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I also think it could be one of those things where, well, if it's a pattern, that's probably not the case. But there are times when you let something out and you think it's gonna be an SBD and then it's not, and then if you're talking to someone while this is going on, you kind of just have to keep talking and pretend it's not happening because
just a creaky floor.
In fourth grade,
yeah.
Vince never left fourth grade. How dare you?
What would you call it?
Silent one.
That's stupid. I also think it's effeminate when I hate when people fart and go, oh, excuse me. Like if you say excuse me.
Like an Asian lady?
If you say excuse me after you
fart. Oh, excuse me.
If you say excuse me after you fart, that's, you've definitely been emasculated.
A dude? If a dude does that?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be like, yo, check this out. I mean, if you're going to do it, you got to call attention to it.
Yeah, I would go the other extreme and like light it on fire.
Yeah, or just lift one. Definitely the one leg lift.
Well, it feels better when it's coming out.
Yeah.
You know, that way it's not as contained.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, people who aren't Vince, do you fart at work?
I mean, I have.
Brendan?
No, because there's so many people around.
So you just hold it in the whole time?
No, I just go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I usually have pretty regular dumps, and that's plenty of time.
Man, having a job, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, Vince just farts whenever he wants. All day long, mostly.
Yeah, we're packed into my office like sardines, which I guess, I suppose, would make it easier to blame someone else, but...
That wasn't me. Well, we did get another email from Sam, who created the hot guy draft with her and her friends. And I didn't get the whole thing, but I just wanted to bring it up because it was so elaborate. And they had 15 rounds.
Yeah, I emailed her back and asked, did you just put every single male that you've heard of onto this
list? There's ones that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
There were collages is what they're talking about.
Yeah, they made collages for all of them. I consider myself decent at pop culture stuff, or at least I know who most people are. And at least half of those dudes, I didn't know who they are. The question it brought up to me is just, how do you score that? Is it just based purely on attractiveness, which is subjective? Is it based on what movies they're in and things like that?
Give me an example. I'll score it. I'll score it right now.
Well, there was one team that I felt like crushed.
They put Eddie Redmayne on there, who I think is one of the most off-putting looking human beings that I've seen.
Who is Eddie Redmayne?
He's this British dude who's like super freckly. Like, he looks like Little Lord Fauntleroy. Like, he's really pale and freckly and has like sunken eyes. And then...
Who is Little Lord Fauntleroy?
I don't know, to be honest. He just... Like, whenever I hear Little Lord Fauntleroy or, like, the school for albino hemophiliacs, I sort of think of, like, the same, like, pale lord who would break his skin if you, like, grabbed him too hard.
You know what would make that way more intimidating? If it was Anal Lord Fauntleroy.
So there's 15 rounds, and I thought this team, whoever has this team, I thought, crushed. This isn't the whole roster, but because I don't know all of them.
Those were each person's team.
Yes.
Whoever has Eddie Redmayne loses.
Well, there's one that I thought won. Matt Damon, Brad Pitt.
What about Eddie Method Man?
I don't know if Eddie Method Man?
Eddie Raekwon the Chef.
Yeah. Eddie Jizza?
Eddie Ghostface Killer?
Matt Damon, Brad Pitt, The Rock, and John William Scott. I looked like there was a round where they picked two. Ryan Reynolds, Christian Bale, Channing Tatum, Eric Bana, Tyrese.
Tyrese is the most cheeseball dude in the world.
Yeah, but if you're... Yeah, it's worse.
Cheekbones aren't cheeseball.
He's also a horrible actor.
He is a fucking schmuck, and I'm going to show you why, because I remember the stupid video that he made.
So anyway, that was my team that I thought crushed.
That was all one team?
That was one team.
Do you get bonus points for amount of glitter included in collage?
No, but you get boner points.
All right. here's Tyrese. Oh, you know
it's
what?
It's not how it works with girls. They don't have those parts.
Lady, you can still get points. You can still get boner points.
You know what Tyrese is? He's like the Black Soul Singer version of the existential buffoon.
All the women that are out there.
Did he just gargle with rocks?
Women, especially black women. Particular, you know, y'all are on this independent kick. You know, I don't need no man. I'm independent. I want y'all to know the difference. There is a very big difference. Independence in the eyes of a man is when we say we want an independent woman. We don't want a woman that's just holding on to her sexy and nice body to help her get through life.
What the fuck does that mean?
You don't want to work. You don't want to go to college or school. You're not inspired to do anything on any level to try and help further yourself. You just want to be sexy and freeload.
You hear that, Lakeisha? Wash your steak ass!
Nobody wants that as a man. And then...
He's doing the thing where he like thoughtfully licks his lips, like it's gonna be like whatever. The
like
next
LL
thing,
Cool J.
Yeah, where like the next thing he said is gonna be so sexy.
Some women are so on this independent kick, they end up alone. You're gonna independent your way into loneliness. You go off and go buy all the little poodles you want.
So many poodles.
At least my dog is happy to see me when I get home every day. That dog will never be able to replace, or that rabbit
I wasn't joking.
Never be able to
replace or that rabbit. I wasn't joking earlier when I said that. Watch House Tag Ass. Like, it's an oddly specific rant. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's very much speaking to one person.
Yeah, and it's like he's going off on weird tangents, like where you're like the.
You can buy as many rabbits as you want.
Oh, rabbit.
I just don't want directions while I'm driving, all right?
A real man can do for you. So, stay independent. Get your own, have your own. But nobody wants to be alone. Period. And I know there's a lot of men out here that are playing on both sides of the fence. It's confusing. There's a lot of homosexuality going on out here. I get it. It's a lot of frustration that women have.
Like any man. Frustration, any frustration that a woman's ever had with a man has had to do with a gay guy. Yeah. That's like where they go when they're frustrated with men. They're like, I just want to go shopping and with a guy, but not.
No,
be judged.
Was he saying that?
No,
gay guys
ruin it because they mistake them, and they. He's saying gay guys are the reason women are frustrated.
Are you sure it's not guys are doing other guys because they're frustrated with women?
Oh
no!
That's
no.
Tyrese, though. He makes you think.
It's really the lip licking that makes you think.
I think he's saying that there's a lot of dudes out there on the down low.
I think he was
a
just,
message that Tyler Perry was also trying to get at one point.
I think he's just saying Tyrese isn't gay. He's not gay. It's cool.
I don't own no poodles nor no rabbits.
Yeah. Tyrese, I ain't gay. I don't like no poodles. There's three things you need to know about me. I ain't gay. I don't like no poodles.
Or rabbits.
Oh, rabbits. Three things.
This man's still left. We're out here. We're waiting. We're warning. We desire you just like you desire us.
Ugh. It's just like, I just want to punch him really hard.
Minus 1 point for that.
Yeah.
But what about the rabbits? Plus one?
Tell me about the rabbits, Tyrese.
You can buy as many rabbits as you want. That's never going to get you a real man. You can have, like, poodles and rabbits and shit.
You can have purple rabbits, blue rabbits. We can live off the fat of the land, but that's not going to fill the hole inside you.
You could breed rabbits and poodles and have some sort of poodle rabbit.
The same kind of hole that Curly's wife has.
Have, like, poodle-rabbit hybrids and shit. That's weird. That ain't gonna find you. No,
I know there's a lot of rabbits trying to play on both sides of the fence. They say they want another rabbit, but sometimes they go after poodles.
They'll hump anything. That's why they have that saying.
And I heard that...
Humps like a rabbit.
Both sides of the fence.
And I heard that thing...
Like it's a rabbit pen.
I heard that thing, rabbit-proof fence. That shit, that's real.
That is real, by the way.
Yeah, there's a movie. Yeah.
I like how our Tyrese impersonation has gone from Tyrese to Sam Elliott.
Are you sure? I thought it was almost like Batman.
Yeah, Christian Bale.
Could be Clint Eastwood, really.
Get off my lawn with your rabbits.
We got another.
I'm not wearing hockey pants.
Just a bunch of gravelly voiced homophobes.
All right, so we got another. Embarrassing work story from a listener. Oh, which I always like. If you guys got those, send them in because I enjoy the heck out of them. You know, just make my day.
Tell
just
me what it. Works like, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Frot Bros. I'm sitting at my desk eating a Greek yogurt, a plain Greek yogurt, mind you, the grossest, whitest yogurt flavor of them all. It's close to the end of the day, and I'm just finishing up some emails and agendas. As I go to get the last scoop out of my cup and into my mouth, I realize I may have tried to scoop too much, but I'm a bold guy. I barely ever wear a helmet on my bicycle, and I go for it. I drop the full giant spoonful of Greek yogurt directly on my upper thigh quad region. I look down at my black pants and immediately realize that this is going to stain in an awful way. I grab a bunch of tissues and start scooping it out and throwing it into the barrel, which I guess means a trash can. My boss walks up to my desk, sees me frazzled, aggressively rubbing my crotch, holding 5 tissues with a giant white glob on my pants. We don't say anything for a solid 3 seconds. With no emotion, he says, "Nice," and walks away. It is my 3rd week as a temp, and my boss and HR decide if they want me permanently next week. I have a feeling today may have made their decision very easy. Greg.
Strengths. Jizzing in his pants.
I do like that guy with the semen stains. I feel like he's got potential.
He's a real go-getter, you know. Not a lot of people would feel comfortable around here enough to just start jerking off at their desk, so I can only see that as a plus.
And persistent, because it's difficult to jerk off through your jeans.
Yeah. He's got
Although maybe there were slacks.
And really embraces the core values. He's got stick to it himselfness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's. I think that's a plus.
Semen stains are hard to get out of jeans at work.
I'm trying to think of like the worst thing that's ever happened to me at work. It's been a lot of bad soul crush. I don't think I've ever just embarrassed myself. It's always just been more just being embarrassed to be at that job.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I haven't like shit my pants or anything.
Well, you did have the cheer.
Did have a cheer, but cheer. Yeah,
the company that, cheer. What do they call it?
Huh? It was just like the sales cheer every week.
Spirit yell.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. I went into an interview. This was back in the day, pretty soon after college. You know, when you're just like going to anyone that will interview you, basically. And it was, I went to this place, got in there. You know, there's a bunch of people waiting for the interviews. And out of the other room, you hear them cheering to start their day. Very similar sort of cheer. You know, it's like, what, just yelling nonsense. And I got up and talked to the receptionist, and I said, "This is not for me," and walked out before the interview.
Yeah. Well, that was a good call.
Yeah. But yeah, I did have another job where after we'd have a whole company meeting where every department would go through what they've been doing, really relevant. And by really relevant, I mean completely irrelevant. And then the sales team would go back to our little sales area, and we'd cheer really loud. And then that spurned a different group to do their cheer. And every time
I they're felt, like competing against each other.
Yeah, and then every time I felt a little piece of my heart just crack off, never to be reunited with the rest of my heart.
Well, it's like camp in that your love connection will be lost, and you'll probably make a beautiful bead necklace. That's really the sort
what
of
about
work
it?
Environment.
Can you, I make? I'd rather make a lanyard.
Yeah, you can make a lanyard. Okay. If you're like really thick necked, it's gonna take a lot of beads to make that. So maybe you just wrap it around your chubby little
wrist. What about some custom patchouli oil?
I don't know what you make that out of.
Patchouli oils.
It's oil. I know there's some oil in it.
Yeah, that's probably the worst that I had to deal with. I mean, of course, everyone has always had to deal with bosses or coworkers they're not big fans of, but you know, you just sort of pretend like you get along.
They've taken to calling us brothers and sisters now in the emails,
ooh,
which is deeply, wow, deeply disturbing.
But wait, as a collective or individually? Because, like, as a collective, hello, brothers and sisters, that's, yeah, like, whatever.
It's that.
But it's not like brother Brett.
No. Collectively. Instead of a hey all or dear company, it's brothers and sisters. I don't really want to be like your family. I don't think you married into mine.
What if it was sons and daughters?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I have power over you. I am your father.
Creepy uncles and cross-eyed cousins.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I guess it's easy for me to say this now, but, you know, looking for a job is a lot like the looking for an apartment on Craigslist, where if just the way they write the post creeps you out, forget it. Just don't even bother.
Did you go
segue, Vince?
Did you go see some creepy apartments?
Well, did you? I put one. I put my favorite ad up on Film Drunk. I kind of, all right. So Brett called me out on it. I actually did kind of feel weird about it because I just saw this ad and like without thinking about it, I tweeted it because I was like, holy shit, this is the most San Francisco thing I've ever read, and I just sort of tweeted it without even really thinking about it, and then immediately got like 40 some retweets. I was like, oh, okay, well, this seems to have struck a chord. And so then I wrote it up, but then, well, Brett's, well, you can explain your argument, which I agree with.
Yeah, I'm very careful. Obviously, I don't use my last name or try and avoid having pictures.
But to be fair, you don't have a last name.
Also true. I was born from eagles. I'm just really sensitive about public private shit on the internet. Mm-hmm. I feel like the eye of Sauron turns on you and it'll destroy your life in a heartbeat. If the internet decides it doesn't like you, if Reddit picks you out and decides to fucking lynch mob you because of some dumb thing that you did once, you are suddenly synonymous with that one dumb thing forever.
Yep.
And so while the sort of like everyone watching public shaming shit has some positive effects in that cops can't really shoot you in the back anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It also has this flip side, and I think I like to draw the line at passive and aggressive assholery, where if you're actively being a shithead, then maybe you deserve some shit on the internet.
Yeah.
Like the pastor that crossed out the gratuity line mm-hmm. and then got the girl fired after she was called out for it.
Yeah.
That's an active asshole. They're proceeding to enrage the mob by furthering their dick moves.
That's, you just read about it and you're like, this person deserves to be shamed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas these people seem like passive assholes where they weren't actively targeting anyone. Mm-hmm. They were sort of, it's the same thing as having a sticker on the back of your car that is the, what is it, AWK? That's the fucking Nantucket airport.
Andrew WK?
Yeah, is it the, no.
Andrew WK International Airport?
Is that a thing?
I hope so.
He's party hard.
He's party the whole time.
He's like the Middle East ambassador of partying now.
That's true.
Yeah, so I wouldn't imagine that.
If you want to party, you party hard.
Yeah. Anyway, it's like having a Nantucket sticker. It's like, not only am I privileged enough to go on a summering thing, I do it in a very expensive place, and I love it so much I have to put it on my car.
Yeah,
like, that's sort of a passive asshole thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think that person needs to be dragged in front of the the militia firing squad.
Yeah.
So, well, I was a little uncomfortable with
it. It's hard, because I mainly just wanted to sort of share it with my friends, because it was like, it's like hard to know where the line between, I wasn't like, hey, let's publicly shame this person. It was more just like, hey, let's, you know, let's laugh about this among friends. But, you know, I have no control over when that line switches to being among friends.
Nor do you actually know your audience. I mean, right. you know right. a select few, right. and they seem awesome.
Yeah.
And the active participants all seem fairly sane. And,
yeah.
But, I mean, you don't know the fucking 17 weirdos that also follow you and have a little sex doll with your face painted on.
Right. So, all right. So I don't think this person necessarily needed to be, you know, tarred and feathered, but I couldn't resist posting this because it was so fucking amazing.
Before you get into it, I want to echo what Brett said, where I have nightmares where, something that I've said six beers deep on this just right. turns, you know, I somehow like ignite the internet hate machine yeah. and it
which
ruins
is
my
bullshit
life.
I think it's bullshit that we,
which is why I'm also paranoid about my full
lack of last name.
Yeah,
well, people have lost
I'm sure people could find out if they tried hard enough, but
people have anyway. Totally lost the distinction between words and actions and why that's important, and like somehow
absolutely it's like, well known, and a lot of avoiding that is there's no anonymity. There's no privacy anymore. So mm-hmm. it's more about obfuscation, where it's difficult for them to track you down. Like, it's never going to be impossible. You never yeah. get security, but it's like, oh, is it worth my time to do it?
Yeah. So anyway, I took the link out of the, I mean, I never had the link in the post, but I sort of changed the names and you made it. If they Googled it, they could have found it, but I didn't want this chick to get like a million emails from idiots. But so here's her ad. It's 7-4. By the way, this ad is for a $1,400 bedroom in a 1,200 square foot apartment, which is also perfectly San Francisco. It's 7:14 a.m. and the sun is beginning to reach through the window, around your curtains, gently rousing you from an undisturbed night of rest. Sitting up, you hear the jingle of a bell. It's Bambina the cat scurrying towards her food bowl. You know that your lovely roommate Marina will soon follow, rubbing the sleep from her eye and muttering about the little bastard under her breath. Minutes later, Kyle walks past with one of his many bicycles. You wish him a nice day as he heads out the door to his job at an ad agency. Stepping into the newly remodeled kitchen, Marina asks if you would like to taste some of the kale smoothie she just made. It is surprisingly delicious. You sip the delicious smoothie and look out onto the garden where a hummingbird is gracefully sipping its own breakfast from a flower. It's time to shower and you head into the bathroom.
Yeah, that's right. We've got hummingbirds. What do you have? Probably crows.
You head into the bathroom, completely redone with two sinks and copious amounts of storage space. Smiling and sighing to yourself as you look in the mirror, you whisper, "Today is going to be a beautiful day." That's just like you, always so positive. You've brushed your hair and your teeth, bid Bambina adieu, and now it is time to catch the bus. Luckily, the light rail is around the corner, as are the 10, 48, and 22. Getting to work will be a breeze. You wave to Fred across the street and walk over to Pacino's for a quick cappuccino before heading to the bus stop. It's so sunny and everyone is smiling as they walk their dogs or push their adorable and well-dressed children in their strollers. Why is everyone so happy? What is this place?
Oh, we're all rich and white.
Welcome to the dog patch, my friend. This beautiful sliver of San Francisco could be your new home. Kyle and Marina, that's me. I changed these names, by the way. They were arguably more annoying before I changed them. Are searching for the perfect roomie to add to our home at blah, blah, blah street. You want to live with us in the historic dog patch district for a variety of reasons. One, you were delighted with the prospect of living in this quiet and up-and-coming neighborhood, surrounded by cute restaurants, backpacking stores, the Esprit Park, fromageries, Mr. and Mrs. Miscellaneous, the Dog Patch Saloon, the Ramp, Serpentine, blah, 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 blah. Shall I keep going? Two, Kyle and I are communicative, respectful, fun roommates who have very unique interests. We're both work hard, play harder types. Kyle is constantly going for rides on one of his aforementioned bikes, and when I'm not working, I'm at concerts, like, all the time. Most unique interest ever, by the way.
I like how I say that music. Bike riding and going to concerts?
Yeah. Oh, we're like, you'll never believe how unique we are. He goes rock climbing, and I like to play kickball. Have you ever met anyone so unique as us?
It's not even a sport for adults. It's crazy.
I also really like travel.
We like having a good time, which is you don't find often. Three, the home we live in is 1,200 square feet, has a huge bathroom and kitchen, a patio, a garden, and everything has just been redone. It's seriously gorgeous. I don't have good pics yet, but I can send you some if you are interested. If you are serious about being considered, please reply to this ad with a bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? What makes life worth living? I look forward to hearing from you.
You should respond to it with the link to your blog post.
I definitely would. I don't know if they've noticed.
Here's a little bit about myself. I write for Film Drunk. Here is a sample blog post.
That I love cappuccinos. I could see myself going there every day. I would bring all of your hummingbirds. They could hang out with me.
So this is pretty geeky, but I was reading an old like how-to on how to write old text-based adventures like Zork and shit. Like that you play on the computer where it's like, here's what happens. And the number one rule is that you don't tell them what they're doing because then it's awkward because you're like, I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I didn't enjoy a cappuccino. I don't like cappuccinos.
Yeah. Also, I think one of the biggest problems was where smiling and sighing to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, who does that but a crazy person in a weird soap opera?
Oh
me.
It's like I want to scream out in terror as my body is controlled outside of my will.
Yeah.
No, don't pet the cat.
Also, if you live in San Francisco, you know 8 million blowjobs who work in an ad agency and ride their bike to work.
Yeah.
Oh, but
does anyone like it as much as him?
No.
I hate that he's always
going biking. That's such a Kyle thing to do.
I hate that we've given kale smoothies a bad name because I have kale smoothies at the plant and they're fucking awesome. And it's like, just because of the assholery involved in bragging about it, this thing has become stigmatic.
That's half the problem with the city in general is there's so much good about it that you like to do, but then there's always some smug asshole doing it and just advertising it, and then it makes you feel dumb for doing
just
whatever.
For
that
the
thing
high
was.
Five on the other, yeah. End. Hey, we're best friends, and you just damn it.
I have a hard time going to Dolores Park anymore because it's just become such a thing to tweet that you're at Dolores Park or put photos of Dolores Park on Facebook.
Yeah,
I might move over there.
It's a great park. Yeah. It's awesome.
You could take so many pictures when you're there.
Oh man.
I like don't want to tell anyone though. You know, someone's like, "Hey, what'd you do this weekend?" I'm like, "Oh, I raped a hobo."
I publicly shamed myself.
I talked to a hummingbird and then sighed in the mirror.
I saw you at Dolores Park. No, I wasn't there. I was raping a hobo, not at Dolores Park.
It's just got a very tasteful Instagram filter on you raping the hobo.
Hobo.
Yeah.
You said hobo filter.
Hobo filter.
What's that?
For Instagram? When you're raping a hobo, you usually traditionally use the hobo filter.
Right.
Is it got like a little rough edges and a little sepia?
It makes
tone.
The picture scratchy like his beard.
There is a park with some amazing hobos doing all sorts of drugs right near Brendan's place.
Oh yeah,
that's great.
Oh yeah, the two hobos that were like fingering each other's butts on a hill.
That was at Jim's birthday in Dolores Park.
Oh yeah.
There was some butt fingering.
No,
going
and
on.
It was probably,
Instagram that you
it was
fuckers.
Probably the hottest day I've ever. I lived in San Francisco 7 years, and it was probably the hottest day I've ever been around. And the one guy was just in his tidy whities, and he had the shit stain, and he rolled over, and just in time for us to all see the shit stain, we're like, oh, and as we're looking at it, a bunch of flies just cluster right on the shit stand.
Oh, I love it here. Oh, butt stain.
So, and then this other place that I looked at yesterday, I was like, oh, that was kind of a cool place. And as I'm getting in the car, this guy in the corner is like, heroin. It's like, first of all, I thought they would use like a cool street name.
Like Dragon or something?
Yeah. Iguana, you want to ride a horse?
Who wants to pet the iguana?
Hey, kid, you like ponies?
You know, but you could always...
Just with a question mark? Heroin?
Yeah.
Heroin.
Like a newsboy.
I think he was sort of saying it like it wasn't... He didn't make it a question. So I think his defense would have been like, oh, what? I was just on the corner saying heroin. I wasn't selling anything.
A heroin, like in a...
He was standing on a crate. He had a paperboy cap on.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Yes.
Pick it up. Your heroin here.
Got your heroin here.
Get your smack, huh?
You can always... I mean, it makes it really easy to start a heroin habit if you wanted.
That's the favorite drug of the jazz singers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's not something you get at every location.
That's... I mean, I considered it a perk.
Yeah, a plus.
I just remembered there was... By the way, not enough fucking heads rolled for how ridiculously absurd the anti-drug PSAs were in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I just...
Thanks, Ronald.
When you told that story, I just remembered the one of, like, the young kid with the model plane. It's like, hey, kid, you like planes?
Yeah.
You want to get something to make you fly?
Yeah, they definitely made it seem like pot and heroin were the same thing.
Well,
and so then when you smoke pot and you're like, well, this is all right. And you're like, well, heroin might not be that bad either.
Wait a minute. Everyone's a liar.
And not only that, but they all made it seem like there was people who were out there to force it on you.
I told you guys last week about the MacGyver episode where they were going to cut his fingers off unless he did drugs. And then I didn't do drugs until I did drugs and everything was great.
Yeah, it's this whole concept that like, hey, man, hey, kid, you want to be cool? Fucking smoke this. Like, and if anyone knows in reality, people don't just give drugs away to random people. Yeah.
They like to keep their drugs.
Yeah.
No one's interested in getting you hooked on weed.
Yeah.
Not to mention, anytime you turn it down, like, ah, more for me, dude. Like, no one's ever aggressively like,
that's what I mean.
No, you need to do this.
Put this in your fucking mouth and smoke it, you pussy. It's like, don't think I've ever seen someone aggressively push any sort of drug on anyone. It's like Brennan said, like, more for me, man. It's all good, man.
I remember I was on a car trip with my parents, like the first time that they told me that they had
first
smoked
time they
pot.
Tried to get you high.
Yeah
Fucking smoke.
My
this
dad thing. Has actually tried to get me high in cars before, so that's not like super out of the question. But I was a little young
dad,
for that at the time.
Your dad's unique, though.
He is unique. So I think, I don't know, maybe I was like 6, 7, like right at the height of DARE propaganda, and they admitted or they said something about how they'd tried pot before, which fucking blew my mind because I was like, "What? You guys are gonna like die and fucking, we're gonna wake up in a gutter tomorrow or something." And I remember,
do I have to sell all my toys? When did you do this? Was this recently?
Yeah. And so I was like, so how did you kick it? And then they both fucking laughed their asses off at me like it was like the funniest thing they'd ever heard. It was pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
You're like a little baby idiot.
Yeah. They laugh because it's the funniest thing ever because it kind of is. Like your son being like, how did you kick it?
Who made you into such a pussy, boy?
What do they teach you at that square school?
Fine, now you're getting high.
All right, well, we're about to get Jessup on. We should listen to the interview just to refresh your memory because it's pretty great.
I'm one of the heroes.
Yeah. Can we talk to you? Do you mind?
What do you want to talk about?
What happened today?
Well,
went straight out of Dogtown, skateboarding, surfing it up. Before I say anything else, I want to say no matter what you've done, you deserve respect. Even if you make mistakes, you're lovable, and it doesn't matter your look, skills, or age, or size, or anything. You're worthwhile. No one could ever take that away from you.
Thanks, Kai.
Now, this stuff right here, I was driving and I was in the passenger side of this fucker's car and he comes over on there. He was over by the recycling center. He says, oh, when I was in the Virgin Islands, 30 years old on a business trip, I fucked this 14-year-old. I was like, you what? He's like, I raped this 14-year-old, starts crying, gives me a big hug. He's just like, fuck, 300-pound guy. I'm like, oh, shit. You must be fuckered, man. Like, what's he talking about? I didn't take him seriously at first. He comes driving down this way. He's like, you know what? I come to realize I'm Jesus Christ and I can do anything I fucking want to. And watch this. Bam! And he smashed into this fucking guy right there, pinned him in between that fucking truck. And so I hop out. I look over, the guy's pinned there. I mean, like, freight train riders know this. Like, if you get pinned between something, do not fucking move that shit, otherwise you bleed out. Like, motherfucker, I ran in, I grabbed the keys. He's fucking sitting there like nothing even happened. And like, fucking, like, man, if you started driving that car around again, man, there would have been a hell of a lot of bodies around here. Fucking, I hop on out, and so I grab the bag, I threw it over by that pole right there, and then fucking Buddy gets out, and these two women are trying to help him. He runs up and he grabs one of them, man. Like, a guy that big can snap a woman's neck like a pencil stick. So I fucking ran up behind him with a hatchet, smash, smash, smash. Yeah.
The lady said you saved yeah. her life.
She was the one who got grabbed by that fucker. You know what? Fuck is cool. That guy ain't.
Well, fuck is cool?
I don't know what that means.
Shit.
How'd you get in his car? How did you...
I was hitchhiking. Good thing I was hitchhiking. Yeah, people say don't hitchhike. Well, this is what happens. At least I was here.
So he did this on purpose?
Dude, that guy was fucking cooked out, man. Like, he's beyond howling. Like, I don't even see any breath in him. You know what I'm saying?
Can I get your name?
Well, that's actually what that means.
I'm Kai.
What? Hale means that?
Hale means without breath.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the islanders, they all believed in, like, deep breath was the key to, I don't know, vitality or something like that. And then when the Europeans came over, they noticed they didn't take as deep a breath.
Interesting.
Yeah. What he's doing in Fresno is anyone's guess.
Or where he's from. He's got, like, a weird
Kai. Can I get
Canadian.
Straight out of Dogtown. K-A-I.
Yeah, do you have a last name?
No, bro. I don't have anything.
Where are you from originally? Are you from Fresno area?
Sophia, West Virginia.
No kidding. How old are you?
I can't call it.
Okay. What? Have you ever experienced anything like today? And what made you take the actions that you did?
That woman was in danger. He just finished what looked like at the time killing somebody. And if I hadn't have done that, he would have killed more people. So he's dead. Good.
You ever experienced anything like that, Kai?
He's not dead, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
If you hit someone in the back of the head with a hatchet three times by his count,
well, he smashed,
which is probably unreliable.
Smashed. Smash, smash, and
probably,
then smash.
Probably backside of the hatchet.
Well, we can ask Jessup about that, but apparently he hit him with the back end of the hatchet and then hit him with the sharp end two times.
So that was the smash?
Yeah. It makes a difference.
Well, this
sound.
One time I was in an orchard. And this fucking guy starts beating on this woman who he calls his. So I walked on over and I started smashing him in the head. You see all these teeth marks right here for the camera? Yeah, I started smashing him in the head and in the teeth, busted out all his teeth. Motherfucking the sheriffs, not the policy enforcers, fucking show up and start like, they're like, yeah, so what happened? I mean, like, just give me any old name and just give me old fucking birthday, whatever, just... Yeah.
What happened today after the... You're obviously free now, but were you arrested? What was the process? What did they do to you when they came out? Obviously, they found out that you did the right thing, but the time that from the accident until now, where have you been?
Well, you started following I. Like, I cleaned his motherfucking head wide open with a hatchet. He stood up like he was pulled right up, right? And, like, fuck it, I'm like, bro, if you're fucking Jesus Christ, I'll be the Antichrist, man. Like, fuck that shit. And he starts following me off this way, so I figure I'll lure him right away
from
the crowd. Yeah. So I'm running off this way. I got a hatchet in one hand, motherfucking this bag I'm carrying over with another hand. I start running off that way. And so a couple of the people who was bystanders to it came over and told me to stop. And I was like, why stop? And he was like, the cops are already on their way. I was like, is he back up and doing anything? And somebody said that he was like masturbating in front of this school or fucking whatever this place is right here. Yeah.
Were you questioned by police? Were you taken into custody? What happened? I mean, obviously.
I was questioned. I was put into the back of the sheriff's wagon. It wasn't the policies that fucking pulled I over. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like I got put in the back of the sheriff's wagon. The sheriff was like, what happened here? Took down a statement. I told him everything I just told you. And fucking let me on out. Said I couldn't grab all this stuff until I had finished, like, they had finished with something, you know what I mean? And, like, brought me back on over here so I could be in front of this thing, like, this fucking car right here. This is fucking gnarly, man. Holy shit. It's like the biggest wave I've ever ridden in my life.
Ironically in Fresno,
what's
Vince.
Next for you, Kai? Yeah.
Hopefully some surfing. If anybody's watching this somewhere else and they got a mini mile that they could lend a guy with a wetsuit, I'd love to test out Mavericks.
Would you do it again?
club him in the head with a hatchet?
Love that.
You know, if I could go back in time, I'd go back over to where I was at that recycling center and he said that he had raped that chick over in the Virgin Islands, because it doesn't matter where you at. You can fucking just spend a bunch of money and do whatever the fuck you want. You know, that's not right. If I could go back in time, I would have dabbed him up right there.
No, you're not. I mean, you doesn't seem like you have any concern for yourself. You're all about, I mean, doing the right thing and not even worrying about Kai first.
I don't have any family. Like, as far as anybody I grew up with is concerned, I'm already dead. So, whatever.
That actually seems kind of badass. He's just
a homeless drifter.
He's like a single A-team.
Oh, yeah, he's just looking for some tasty waves. He's like a Ninja Turtle, man. Lives in the fucking...
He's looking for waves. He's far from the coast.
Yeah, I think he's on his way up here.
Oh, yeah, if it's Mavericks. Mavericks. Yeah.
Okay. Just as we were trying to get him on. What's his name, Vince?
Jessup.
Jessup. He might not be available tonight. There's a chance he's available later. If not, we'll try to get him on next week. We know who is available.
He was busy talking to Kai, so that's a good
really?
Thing. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a good career maker for him.
Yeah. As it should be.
Well, let's get a new author, Laramie Legal, on.
Yeah. Don't plug his shit.
He emailed me specifically to make sure to plug it because you don't respond to emails.
I told him he could as long as he had a list. I said, you can plug whatever you want as long as you bring the heat with the list.
He emailed me specifically.
Yeah, well.
And separately, saying Vince is bad with the emailing.
Oh, it's adorable that he knows you're the responsible one. Look, I know Vince has the site and all, but could you just be in charge for the whole time?
Vince loves to tweet, hates to
Hello?
Email. Hello.
Who's this?
Your mom.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, I was just banging this hobo.
What were you doing that for?
I had this big pussy and I needed someone to fill it, you know? And he had a couple pickle jars full of his own urine, and I was like, just stick that right up here.
Well, it's like you always told me, Mom, thank God for hobos.
And I did. I did teach you that at a very young age.
Laramie, mm-hmm. at what age, we were talking about the old dare to stay on drug campaigns.
Yes, yeah.
At what age were you first forced to do drugs?
It would have been... Well, what kind of drugs first? That's what you should identify. Like, are you talking soft stuff or hard stuff?
It's all hard stuff.
It all leads to death, I mean, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, probably 15 or 16, somewhere in there.
That was the first time someone said, hey, kid, smoke this right now. And you said, I don't want to. And they said, I'm going to fucking kill you.
They're like, hey, Ese, do an 8-ball off this hooker's butt.
And I was racist. Okay. It's racist. I don't approve.
I'm from Florida. All my friends were Hispanic. Don't blame me.
I have a much more Northern California answer, which is 12.
Jesus, dude.
It's always 12. You fuckers smoke weed early.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Right out of 7th grade.
Yeah.
Almost universally.
Yeah, I think I was like 15.
Straight out of Dogtown.
I was like 15.
Man. Yeah. These kids are growing up so fast.
Laramie, what's up, man? You got a new book.
Yeah, you know... I was all psyched to talk about it, and then I realized I still have some... I mean, it is on Amazon right now, but I have to, like, re-upload a copy, so I'm not really announcing it until Monday. But if you'd like to read a screwed-up copy, go ahead and buy it now.
What does that mean? It's, like, in a different language?
Deletes your progress, you go back to level one.
No, like, once you see it on the Kindle, you realize the spacing a little more, and so you kind of realize how you have to structure things. So I'm just going to do a couple minutes more work on that bad boy. But it's called Film Critic, and it's by me. So
what's it about?
It's about Vince, weirdly.
It's an ironic title because...
It's just a hit piece. Here's what's not a film critic, and then it's just an autobiography.
It's about Vince's experiences and the stuff he's been through, and I kind of ghost wrote it, but...
Felt like you know, the handful of times you met him, you got a pretty good feel.
I will tell you, there's at least a couple chapters just about getting screeners, just getting them right to your house.
Is there a whole chapter just on Zero Dark Thirty and how Vince didn't get a screener?
And I did put in there like how annoying it is to always like have to sign for FedEx stuff. It's like, ugh, so frustrating.
So many screeners.
I have to watch this in my home conveniently. That is awful.
I get a lot of porn DVDs. Does that count?
Actually, that's better than what I'm getting, as a matter of fact.
So do they still have the stupid scroll where it says for Academy consideration or for your consideration?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
More importantly, are there still movies? Because I haven't really anything.
I mean, you like Django.
Oh, that was all right.
They didn't send Django out, though, so that's a poor example.
So what's the book about, though?
It's about just anecdotes and essays and reviews and interviews and...
Like essays trying to give you drugs?
Precisely, that kind of essay.
Uh-huh.
It's 60,000 words, so it's a real book. It's a value. It'll take you at least 3 or 4 hours to get through. And it's just got stories about sleeping with celebrities, mostly.
Okay.
What was the most interesting celebrity that you interviewed? Or, like, what was the weirdest interview?
Probably, and I write about this, Spike Lee, who was just an asshole to me the whole time.
Really?
Shocking.
For no reason.
That's hard to believe.
I'm white. What do you think?
Wait. I think it's because he's a dumbass. He just seems like a not very smart. He seems like a very angry and not... He seems like a bad combination of angry and not particularly smart.
Well, and he always strikes me as taking everything way too serious and...
Yeah. Like, he seems wounded.
And I started off the conversation with, hey, the Knicks are never going to win again, huh?
Did you really say that?
No, I didn't say that. I did ask him if he believed in God, and he got really upset with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he did or because he didn't?
He did this thing that no one ever saw called Passing Strange. It's a musical all about belief in God. And so I asked him, I opened right out of the gate, is it more important to believe in God or is it more important that God exists? And he's like, I believe in God. What are you saying? And I'm like, no, I'm just
That's a good question.
I mean, that's the only the question, right? So,
you just start all your interviews that way. Hey, can you find meaning in my life?
Yeah. Like, I interviewed Chevenzane Wallace, and I was like, God, where do you stand? She's like, I'm 12.
Chevenzane, that's how you pronounce it?
How do you pronounce it?
I have no idea. I've never heard it pronounced out loud.
It just
loud.
Makes a meowing sound.
I couldn't tell if it was Kuvenjane or Kuvenjane.
I think it's Chevenzane. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever.
It's only pronounced on peyote.
Not now, my problem. Chevenzane Wallace. Yeah, that's her name. Chevenzane.
Chevenzane?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are these Academy Awards you always talk about?
February 24th, Academy Awards.
This month. Do you have a big party for those?
No, I blog for about 7 hours, though.
Ooh.
That's a party.
Blogger party.
It's a party unto itself.
Just me and the keyboard getting sexy.
By the way, if I have to read David Poland and like one of the awards daily people arguing about who's going to win Oscars and what's overvalued in the Oscars, I'm going to blow my fucking brains out.
Like, I don't blame you. That sounds like the most boring argument ever.
That's all they do is argue about it all day. And it's like arguing about old people's opinions.
It's not amazing that they argue. It's amazing they care. You know what I mean? Like, who cares if Argo wins or Lincoln? It makes no difference to your life. No material difference whatsoever. Just
but they,
be fine.
They write screeds to each other about why they're wrong for thinking that more people are going to vote for Lincoln instead of Argo.
All right. New pitch. We make it part of their lives. So one of them has to starve to death if Argo wins.
I like this. I like this.
Well, you add gravity to the choices. So some it's like Saw, essentially.
Uh-huh.
But done live and with
if you don't pick 18 out of 24 categories right, you get executed right there.
Yeah. Or you have to execute yourself in some gratuitous fashion. Maybe you're on a roller coaster car that collides with a picture of Ben Affleck and you're splattered all over his cheek.
That would add an element of gravitas to the situation, certainly.
Well, along the same lines, I was deep in thought this morning about just the whole, I guess football is the main sport that I care about, but really the Hall of Fame in any sport, and just how I remember reading. So I started reading the sports column about Andre Reed and, you know, whether or not he's going to get into the Hall of Fame, and then it started getting into, well, the voters are going to take this into account, and there's a lot of voters that are going to keep him out because he's four-time Super Bowl loser Andre Reed. And I almost just spiked my phone onto the ground. Like, it's fucking Andre Reed's fault that they went against some of the best. You know, they lost to two Cowboys teams that weren't some of the best teams of all time. Like, it blew my mind. And then I immediately after that, I just went, you know what? I just don't care. Well, after that initial bit of, like, that's so stupid, I'm like, I guess I don't really care, which it is really nice to not care, because if it was 10 years ago, I'd probably be getting really worked up, especially about, you know, 49ers and players I cared about and things like that. And now my whole standpoint is, well, it's decided by people who write about sports. And have you read the stuff that people who write yeah. about sports actually write?
So because it gets four levels deep, and it's always really because it'll be one person will be like, well, here's what the voters are thinking about. Here's what the Hall of Fame voters are thinking about Andre Reed. And then another writer will come along and shit on that first writer and be like, that's not what they're thinking. They're thinking this. And so then it's two people arguing about what another third party thinks. And it's like, all right, we're fucking in the snow
level
now.
Not to mention it only takes like one or two guys to be like, just, you know, the way that sports writers get a bug in their ass about something where it's like, he's a four-time Super Bowl loser. We are the guardians of the Hall of Fame. And if we start letting in a four-time Super Bowl loser, you know, it's a slippery slope or whatever stupid argument they have.
My favorite part is when they say, it's not the Hall of the Very Good. Yeah. You're like, it's not the Hall of Fame either. All these guys are famous.
It's not really much of a hall, even. It's sort of a
dome.
It
doesn't even make any sense. Yeah.
So since we've got the physical athlete championship brain trust in the house, I have a serious question because I'm not a traditional sports fan in that I like the mechanics of it and I occasionally like the players. Why the fuck do you read sports journalism?
I pretty much avoid it now.
It just seems... So there's very little future, hey, here's where the NFL's going. I'm interested in the stuff about rule changes and how that'll affect play. The stuff with how safety is going to change the game. I like that sort of global stuff, and they're making conjecture about how things will shift. The sort of past-looking rating shit seems like the most asinine possible thing you could ever talk about. And I get that sports... As part of the appeal of sports is that it's universal and that you can strike up a conversation with a homeless person on the street about the Niners' loss. And that we both shared that. And
the Niners lost?
Don't start with me, you son of a bitch. It goes both ways, fucker.
My team will
I can make an enemy just as easy as a homeless friend. But on the flip side, that sort of universality is super fucking boring if all you're doing is like, I give it a 5, I give it a 7, well, let's fight to the death.
Part of the universe, the other part of the appeal of sports is that there's a game, and then at the end of the game, someone yeah. wins. Like, you don't
Turns
really
out
have
it's
to fucking.
Decided.
You don't have to argue about it because it's decided for you. It's not like, oh, well, I think so and so's better. It's like, it doesn't
well,
really matter.
I think
what
we've
you
brought
think.
This up. I think we've brought this up a lot on the Frotcast, but I think what's interesting about sports is there's a drama involved because it's two teams, you know, competing to see who can be the best.
And generally at the top of a certain set of skills where they are at the absolute best. At usually
right, so that's inherently exciting, yep. whereas and inherently dramatic. Whereas what we always bitch about is sports writers who are trying to find all these angles. They're trying to find a wet hole to fuck in every yep. sporting contest.
Well, why does anyone read them? I want your guys' take on why you would ever click on a fucking link to a sports book.
I don't read a lot of that stuff. I like the stuff I read is like specific NBA analysis. But not about who won the games, and it's
fair.
And then I like certain stuff on Grantland, like Chuck yeah. Klosterman's piece on Royce White was awesome.
All right, yep. I can understand that too. That's equally valid in that they're doing something different. They're actually writers, and sports is the jumping off point to a larger thing.
So I think we actually broached this with I don't even remember if you were on this broadcast, but when we had
I'm never on this broadcast
when we had Drew on because we had to do it at like 5:30 because he's on the East Coast. But we had Drew from Deadspin on, and Drew was a founding member of Kissing Susie Culber and is also now a contributor to Deadspin. And so what we talked about was the sad state of sports journalism. And part of it was we talked about how we used to read all these things. And I think just the bar was so low, we just sort of accepted it as this is just what it is. Peter King will write a, you know, whatever, 50,000 word fucking column with shit about beer and coffee and, you know, his daughter's friends, getting on the honor roll, getting on the honor roll at college and the Red Sox in a football column. And it's all there was for a long time. I mean, you got to think we didn't have the outlets that we have now. So if you're a sports fan, you read Sports Illustrated and you watched ESPN. And now that there's other alternatives, and I love Deadspin solely because at times I feel like their greatest function is to exist to shed the light on how obnoxiously bad sports writing can be, which I love.
Oh, today I was at the gym with, you know, where you have the, or no, it was at the coffee shop where you see ESPN on, and it's quiet, you know, it's on mute. But I saw them showing, like, Rob Gronkowski doing something with, like, a window of Skip Bayless just fucking getting...
Was he, like, dancing in the club?
Yeah, he was dancing. Him and his buddy were, like, wrestling in the club or something. Yeah. And then...
He used his forearm.
Yeah, and then...
Which is hurt.
And then inset was Skip Bayless just looking horrified. And I'm like, so... Yeah. Like, I wish I could mute this lower than the mute
I don't
that
understand
is.
Anyone that can watch First Take with Skip Bayless and Steven... Like,
Isn't he Ann Coulter, though?
Huh?
Yeah. Isn't he Ann Coulter?
No, he's more of a Nancy Grace, isn't he?
Yeah, somewhere
maybe between. A little bit of a Tucker Carlson too.
Just a professional troll.
I don't understand. He's a professional troll. But I don't understand how anyone, like, I get ESPN putting him on because I guess people do watch him. But that makes me so angry. Like, those shows make me so angry.
So ESPN's done a lot of really interesting things, and not in a good way, but done a lot of really interesting things as far as really just moving away from any idea of, hey, let's be sports journalists. And their whole kind of programming mantra right now is embrace debate. So everything has to be this debate. And it's just essentially turned into pro wrestling.
I don't want to watch debate about sports. I don't care what you think about the teams. The teams are going to play each other.
None of you are at the top level skill of debate. You're all second tier debaters, and that's not really a sport. Is having half assed debate from a bunch
right,
of idiots.
And they've gotten to the point where they're like, well, we can't pick a debate that could be in any way thwarted by, you know, facts or evidence. So we have to waste half an hour of time debating whether or not someone's elite, because it can go so many levels deep. Well, where also, someone can be like, if you don't have a ring, you are just not elite. And then someone's like, well, they're at the top of these statistical categories, so that to me, that's elite. Well, okay, I get that.
What's
you're arguing
more now?
That, but yeah. Oh, who's more now is the worst thing ever.
Well, they pick an argument that they know has 1,000 counterexamples, so it's like it can go on forever.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch a bunch of debaters play sports, so I don't want to watch a bunch of jocks debate. It's equally bad.
So when our buddy called us out for just picking random arguments about beer or whatever, I desperately want to hold on to the idea that in the end we reach a consensus.
Yeah.
That the goal is one, to challenge and see if the other person can. It's like debate team, where at the end points are assigned and a consensus is reached. I won or I lost, or this is irreconcilable.
Yeah.
Where I think that inherently sports journalism doesn't have that. And they let the debate rage on forever, and no one ever says, final round, you lost.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I've managed to keep good on my ESPN.com embargo. I haven't clicked any web properties for about 6 months now.
That's the other thing, is that I think a lot of people, where you being a person of reasonable competence and me being a person of reasonable competence, will shut off things we hate. Mm-hmm. Where I think the majority of the world will gravitate towards things they hate.
Again, though, if you had a judge there and Skip Bayless got flogged if he lost the debate, now that would be worth watching. That would be compelling.
It's true.
I also wanted to go back to the old Jim Rome, Jim Everett interview, where it's like, all right, if you're gonna talk a bunch of shit, that dude should be there, like while you're talking all the shit on him, and he should be able to flip over your desk and wedgie your ass.
I agree,
Chris Everett.
Yeah. Yep.
But to answer your question, Brett, I really don't read much sports journalism nowadays. It's all so bad. I honestly, there's not a ton of people who can do it. Everything's got to have some higher meaning. And I think I'm hoping that we're reaching some inflection point where people who are, as the aforementioned reasonable competence level, mm-hmm. just say, I can't read this shit. I can't read Peter King, you know, going on for an entire fucking column and not saying anything. Not saying, I think this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen, or this is my opinion. You know, totally equivocating as to not piss anyone off.
The problem is, like, when you're saying they're looking for any wet hole to fuck, part of the problem with that is all these sports writers get a hold of these players so early, and they sort of sand them into this pre-fitted hole of a personality that they're going to stick them into.
Is this still shaped like a vagina?
And
you're mixing whole metaphors.
Yeah, sorry. And then that gets boring to me because, like, for me, one of the reasons that I'm sort of I religiously sort of follow MMA, like the compelling thing about that for me is that you see these guys and you sort of get a little feel for their personality. So then it's sort of just like, well, I think that guy's an asshole and I want to see him get beat up, you know? And it's like that, like the other sports are losing that because they're getting sanded. They're taking away their personal attributes so early that you don't have as much of a dog in the fight anymore.
Well, yeah, we got to enjoy MMA. These are the salad days of MMA, you guys. It's
going
get
away
really
quick.
Bad.
It's already on its way down.
Yeah,
there are two fundamental problems, though, with all sports journalism. The first being the sideline interview has never drummed up anything of interest in the entire history of the medium. One.
Well, Jim Nance was the first. There's a great Deadspin article where Jim Nance was the first person to ever be a sideline reporter, and he just talks about how it's the dumbest thing you could ever do.
There's nothing he's ever said of any value.
Yeah. Coach says they got to play harder in the second half.
I like how they always make it a girl because they're like, well, we're never going to have them in the actual booth, so we'll give them this stupid token job, and then they're going to be so grateful for it, and we're going to act like we're like this bastion of tolerance now.
Number two is athletes, just like actors, may not have much to say. Like, you can be very gifted physically and not be thinking about all the implications of that all the time.
Yeah, I say that often with both acting, you know, with a lot of things, even music. You know, there's a reason we don't pay them to specifically talk.
You know, nor sometimes you might be perfectly gifted and an adept speaker and not really want to.
Well, yeah, like, and we sort of destroy them when they do. Like, you know, like when Kellen Winslow called himself a soldier, everybody's like, how dare you compare yourself to... It's like, he was comparing himself in a flattering way. He was, like, saying it like it was a good thing. Like, he was trying to compare himself to people that he thought were... So people get shit on for saying anything provocative or interesting. So, of course, now it's like, well, we're going to go out there and take it one game, play at a time, and blah, blah, blah.
No, it's such an issue where, I mean, Peter King does it all the time where he'll like, lament the fact that someone's boring, but then if they say something, he's like, you know, this person said this thing, and it just didn't sit well with me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the columnist with Pau Gasol who, like, reports.
Find a hole to fuck.
He's unhappy, right? Hello?
Yeah.
So he reports he's unhappy, and then everyone jumps all over this dude. And I guess somewhere in the column, he said Pau Gasol made him buy the coffee. And it was like, you just got a trillion clicks and reads for this nonsense story that really shouldn't matter. So it's just fake news all the time, just drummed up interest. So strange.
Yep, yep.
And I blame Vince and the blogger culture.
It's pretty much Vince's fault. It's outrage. Well, it's Vince and others.
Not to mention if you're spending your whole day.
It's outrage culture.
Not to mention if you're spending your whole day practicing and working out, you know, sitting down with a reporter for several hours so he can write a feature about you. He's probably not stoked to do it. So, no. I don't know. I don't blame him for not wanting to jump to buy the coffee.
Well, pay for your own coffee. It's $3.
Isn't he? Yeah, yeah. Isn't he European? He probably thought they should go Dutch.
Yeah. Fair. Totally fair.
Yeah. Laramie.
Yes.
So you saw Side Effects.
I did.
Okay, we're going to have a non-spoilery discussion.
Which one is that?
It's Steven Soderbergh. C. Tates is in it with Rooney Mara.
Or Soderbergh and C. Tates, buddy-buddy, after fucking...
Magic Mike?
The other one. Before that.
Haywire?
Yeah, thank you.
Definitely. I didn't really know much about it going in, and I was completely surprised by what I got.
Do you think Soderbergh would be great friends with us if we brought him out on a weekend?
He seems very cool. I don't know. Whenever I read him in interviews, I'm like, wow, that is a very engaging, interesting dude.
I think I would high-five him not once but twice.
Yeah.
Unprovoked. Just be hand up in the air.
Yeah.
I think Side Effects is his best movie. I'm just going to say it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think it's better in Traffic, better in the Oceans, better in Magic Mike. Saw it twice. I would encourage everyone.
I may have
everyone
to see it twice because I saw it, and it's one of those movies where it was kind of Chris Nolan-esque in that the problem I have with Chris Nolan movies sometimes is I have a hard time being in the moment because like something will happen and I will be kind of confused and it'll only come clear like 10 minutes later. So I'm always like slightly confused the whole time. And Side Effects was kind of like that. Granted, I was that day that I was super hungover after the Super Bowl, so I took a couple of Vicodins. I could have been a little loopy when I saw it. But there was some
full disclosure. I slept through about 12 minutes. Really, I've never been so high on Vicodin.
It was one of those movies where it definitely treated me like I was a little smarter than I am. And there's a few scenes where I was like, whoa, go back. What just happened there?
I mean, supposedly it's an homage to Hitchcock throughout.
It felt like it, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is a good thing. There's worse things to homage. But really, I like Rooney Mara. I like C. Tates. Huh?
I liked the movie, but honestly, an homage to Hitchcock, is that like a new thing?
Well, no, it's done all the time, but it's not done well ever.
True.
So, yeah, I thought it was a really good film. The thing is, don't read or watch anything about it.
Yeah, I don't know how the fuck to write about it, because it's just like, well, a bunch of shit that you don't expect to happen happens. And I
liked it.
Yeah.
End of article.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that side effects.
Jude Law, you forget that he's actually a good actor.
It was weird. Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of him in Talented Mr. Ripley, where you're like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing, because it's been a while, right? It's been a while.
Meanwhile, C. Tate's...
killing it.
I think he backslid a little with this one.
Oh, he's chewing the scenery. He's feeling it. I liked it. And I hope a lot of people who are C. Tate's fans go to see it. A lot of teenage girls, I'm hoping.
His performance reminded me, I mean, only a little bit, but he reminded me a little of Shia LaBeouf in Wall Street 2.
It definitely had some LaBeouf in it.
Where he's like, I know it sounds like Star Wars, love, but you could do it. You could be Captain America.
Jude Law, a murderer's row of Anna Karenina, Sherlock 2, freaking Contagion. Guy's killing it. The Holiday. Everyone loved that.
I don't like that we've confused these movies like Sherlock 2 and Fast and the Furious with actual good movies. I'm okay where we're the... Well, also, like Five Fast, Five Furious, you go on Rotten Tomatoes and it's like 78%. And then I get comments on my site where it's like, well, the critics thought it were good. Thought it was good. And I'm like,
the critics thought it worked.
And I'm like, no, they didn't. The critics were like, well, this movie seems aimed at dumb people, and those dumb people seem satisfied. Like,
they gave you ironic reviews.
That's not a good review. Like, that's a lazy, like, you've abdicated your responsibility as a critic at that point.
Critics will definitely pass something, but I would encourage you to look at Sherlock 2 again, because there were a lot of exploding trees, and you might have missed that.
Yeah.
Well, the murderers seem to enjoy it, so.
You might have missed that.
Yeah, Fast Five, the whole thing. They're like, well, it was like, dude, it was like this shit exploded big, and the cars.
All right, wait, can I tell you? All right, so I'm at the Super Bowl party, and everyone's a little bit sauced. And the Seven Fast, Seven Furious, or whatever the fuck the number, doesn't really matter, Ben. It doesn't really.
Rapido seis.
So it comes on, and someone's not watching or something, and I'm sitting in the front couch row, and there's seats behind me, and someone behind me, as the plane lands or whatever, and they're like, are they racing planes now? And as she finishes her sentence, they shoot through the front of the plane, and the plane explodes, and she behind me just goes, oh.
Well, first they hooked the grappling hooks onto the plane, then they brought it down so the guy could drive out of
I just like that the space between, are they racing planes to, oh no, planes are just exploding, was half a scene.
Yeah,
an MTV cut.
I like big dumb stunts and whatever, but then you watch that movie and everything that's not an explosion or a car chase is the fucking worst thing ever.
That's what I was saying about Alien versus Predator R, is that they cut out all the stuff that had people talking and just made it bizarre alien gore the whole time.
You're missing the levels of Fast, because Paul Walker is method acting as a guy who can't act. I mean, it's so crazy to watch.
I am the fastest man alive. I used Paul to be Walker. A cop, and now I just drive fast. My name's Paul Walker. I drive really good.
He really is one of the worst actors to ever grace the silver screen.
Yeah, he's the male Jessica Alba.
He's killing it.
Oh, that's, yeah.
You know his real name is Paul William Walker IV? True story.
Interesting. Have you interviewed
him? Is that in your book?
Is he the seventh now?
No, that's extra trivia. It's for you.
Who else was a dick to you that's a celebrity?
Who else was mean? Oh, I think I've talked about all this crap before on the fraud. Pee Wee Herman was really mean to me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't mention that.
Would not stop masturbating.
Yeah, what? He was really mean.
Why? What'd he do? He seems like he does seem like he could be a bitchy kind of dude.
He totally scoped chicks the whole time I was talking to him at Comic-Con. And I was like, dude, I don't need to do this interview. Like, I can go scope chicks on my own time. I don't need you leering at people.
I don't want a partner in the scoping of chicks.
It was weird. It was really weird. And it's like Pee Wee Herman can't get a date or something. So, and like, he's wearing the little silly suit. Like, what's going on here? What have you devoted your life to?
He was in character?
I mean, he was dressed, I think, just to do like appearances or whatever. He wasn't in character during the interview.
That's got to be something that's not that fun to put on anymore.
He was just a normal sad dude.
Yeah. Following up on, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, where we talked about Jim Belushi and his weird
article.
Someone sent me an old David Cross. I don't know if it's from a book or something. I think it was like some sort of excerpt from a book or something. I had never heard the story before. But David Cross is talking about how like his first job in movies was working with Jim Belushi, and they were filming someplace weird where there was all these people that were like coming up and acting like huge fans. They're filming in a casino, and there's people that were like gathered around talking about how they're big fans of Jim Belushi. And one lady had like a sick son or something, and she's like, "My son's a huge Jim Belushi fan." And David Cross is like, well, first of all, that's weird, but whatever. So like she basically sent him to go talk to Jim Belushi to like try and get him to come over and give her an autograph. And it was like right after the movie wrapped, like everybody applauded for Jim Belushi. Like that's a picture wrap. And then David Cross comes up to him and he tells him like, oh, you should go give that lady, her kid's sick. She wants an autograph. And he's like, what are you talking about? And he was like his reaction was just like, oh, I thought you were trying to get me a blowjob or something. And then David Cross was like, oh no, she just wants your autograph. And he's like, whoa, 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 quit nagging me. Like, what are you, like my second wife? Like, just being a total dick about it.
Was the kid sick because he liked Belushi?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will get cancer if you enjoy Jim Belushi's work.
I mean, he does know how to put a woman in her place. Give him that.
So did his brother, but people conveniently forget that aspect of his personality.
Once you die, you get a pretty good pass.
He was like ragingly sexist. Like he was
ridiculously sexist. Yeah. He didn't want any women on SNL, right?
Yeah.
He just said they're not funny. There shouldn't be any women.
Yeah, pretty much.
How would you like Monty Python? Because the British aren't super misogynist in the same way. They were just, were they?
No, they just really enjoy cross-dressing.
It's cross-dressing and visual gags.
Right.
Yeah.
That turkey is too large for the pot. Over and over again. Yeah. I'm wearing a dress, I see.
And they would always do that great, like, old English bird accent, like, what's all they said?
Yeah.
Oh! That's funny. Jim Belushi, not funny.
Right.
Turns out.
Yeah.
He just kind of seems like a piece of shit.
Yeah, he seems like a bit of a misanthrope.
All right, so we got Pee Wee Herman.
I mean, you're really looking for people who are just mean to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
You're going to list? Make us a list of people who are mean to you.
That's compelling to me.
Starting with us.
All these people I interview act for a living. You don't think they can act like they like me for 10 minutes?
Well, and that's why it's interesting when they can't.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, I think
when their dislike of you is so strong. They
I've said this before,
pretend.
but Rene Russo is dumb as rocks. I mean, just dumb. Just really dumb.
Well, how so? How did that manifest itself?
Laramie?
Hello?
Oh, did we lose him? Uh-oh.
The powers that be caught him talking shit on Rene Russo.
She pulled the plug.
She controls the internet now.
They pulled the plug.
Did I get cut off?
Obama's like, cut the cord.
you just,
we can't have the nation knowing how dumb Rene Russo is.
You just went completely silent. Oh, because Brett keeps pulling out the fucking cable with his knee.
No, it's my foot. I'm reclining.
What an idiot.
I'm reclining. It's getting real comfortable in here.
If there's a drone strike coming, Rene Russo called it in. I'm just saying.
I don't like that Laramie.
So how did it manifest itself? Sorry.
You would ask her something and she would just stare off into the distance, like a 10,000 yard stare. It was really strange. And like she would talk about like Kabbalah Dolphins and stuff, but clearly had no idea.
You're talking about Kabbalah? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Is that the lizard people?
Oh. Yeah. That's when the Jews turn into lizards.
Hollow moon. You got to bow to the hollow moon and stretch your thighs out.
It's when the Jews morph into lizard people and fly up to the hollow moon, and then they control the earth.
You guys get wings now? I thought it was just the tails.
No, on spaceships, Brett.
Oh, sorry.
Said they call it a hollow moon.
I told you about my Corolla interview, right?
Hello.
I don't think so.
Adam Carolla, this one's in there too, but I talked to him for 45 minutes. I had to hang up on him eventually. I had to go. He like kept talking to me, right? Like,
you big timed him?
It's the only interview I ever like didn't understand why I kept going. Like, I'd asked him 45 minutes of questions and he just ranted and ranted and ranted. And he actually used the term half a fag in the interview.
Yeah.
Which I redacted for him.
Oh, why? I like that. I like that he uses that.
I thought it was going to cause some controversy or whatever. But I just talk about it in the book, like why I took it out and how I don't think he is, you know, really sexist or pardon me, homophobic or whatever. But yeah, like 45 minutes. He doesn't have publicists and stuff, so I kind of like him. But
yeah, he seems great to me. But
salt of the earth, right?
Carolla's like he'll say some shit where you're like, just stop ranting about Asians. You sound like kind of you sound like someone's grandpa.
Yeah.
But I think it goes back to we've actually covered this on the Frogcast before as well as like, are they racist as far as you know are.
He has some dumb opinions, but it comes from a non-full of shit place, which is why I feel like I give him a lot of leeway.
Also, there's
he's not trying to fake you into thinking that he is a better person than he is somehow.
There's an important line between insensitive and active. It's the same thing. It's the same thing where you probably shouldn't have called those apartment people out, despite their passive assholery. Is that I mean, look, we're deeply insensitive. Where, oh no, like 100 people got offended by that because they've had a hard time or whatever, and that sucks, and I feel genuinely bad about that. But at the same time, it's one thing to be guarded about your statements, and it's another to actively persecute some minority.
Yeah, right. And he's not disenfranchising anyone.
Yeah, you can have your prejudices and your stereotypes about people as long as you're smart enough to not let that rule how you treat someone before they've they've fulfilled whatever that prejudice you might have is.
And I feel like he'd be just as likely to hate a straight guy as a gay guy, and it would make no difference.
Sure.
You know, like, so I don't think he meant it that way. And so
he's
I just,
an
like,
equal opportunity crab ass.
Yeah, exactly. So I just moved on or whatever.
Well, also, like, the word fag was incredibly, even when we were kids, like, until we were, like, well into our 20s, that was just like, that was, you couldn't go a day without hearing someone say that like at least 10 times. And I mean, I'm sure if you grew up in the 70s, it's even worse.
I don't know when I grew up then, but
I hang out with young people, cool people. Like we're hip. Chardonnay Lewis or whatever.
I'm wearing a beret right now. So
Pee Wee, Chardonnay Lewis, Rene Russo, all the bigs.
All the young kids just smoking cigarettes behind the gym.
See if I can find anything else.
Renee Russo is like 90 years old now, isn't she?
No, I'd still bang it.
I like Kristen Stewart. I'll throw that out there.
Really?
Yeah. I when I interviewed her, I've had one one-on-one or one roundtable, and people would ask her the stupidest questions, and she would just kind of bat them down, which I really appreciated. Like someone goes, "Do you draw from your own personality when you're in the character of Bella?" She looks at him and goes, "Nope." And I was like, awesome. Because, like, answering that question doesn't get us anywhere, right? It's a stupid question. It's terrible. Move on.
Yeah.
How much are you like the imagination hold for you?
Like, there's no good way to answer that. It's stupid.
Did you prepare a list for us tonight?
I do have a list.
Yeah, you do.
Pretty relevant list. New Year's resolutions.
Okay.
I've only broken two of these so far.
You didn't recycle these, did you?
No, this is the list I had for you in the first show of the year that you never got to because you were housed.
So you did recycle these.
No, it's never been cycled. How can it be recycled?
Well, it's like you brought a present to a party that you never gave, so you just took it back to your house, and now you're just coming back. And
at the time, you said it'll be better in February, and now you're totally going back on that.
It was his resolution list.
Like an asshole.
No, we'll save it because we're drunk and we want to go to bed.
Why don't you try remembering what you say before you black out? Try that for a bit.
Why would I do that?
That's a resolution for you.
I'm blacked out because I don't want to remember the things I say when I'm blacked out. That's the whole point of being blacked out.
Listen, I didn't plan a career to sit by myself alone in a movie theater in the dark because I like people. So. All right. New Year's resolutions. Number one, stop quoting the 1962 film Mutiny on the HMS Bounty. One of the quotes I often go to at a party, a man will never disobey once he's watched his mate's backbone laid bare.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty specific tick, but number two, and again, this would have
been better. Was that a big 2012 issue for you?
Yeah, it's something that people would call me out on a lot, too. You know, Mutiny on the Bounty, great movie. Number two, would have been funnier January 3rd, but stop Googling what's up with Syria, which I have managed to do since then. I have one more Google-related one. Stop Googling Persian plus toothless plus whore plus local minus expensive minus pricey. Because you want a good search. And I've not done that.
You so want it, well, you want it to be accurate.
You don't want
and you want it to be specific. You don't want it to be general.
I mean, hey, real talk here, guys. The Persians are beautiful people. Right? Padma, for instance. Okay, number four.
She's Persian?
She's Indian.
Well, she's Sri Lankan.
Come on. They're all foreigners. Apply That's for true. A gun permit. Right?
She's subcontinental. Let's say that.
Apply for a gun permit. Then, once I get approved, say Obama made me give it up and make a YouTube video regarding it.
Okay. Okay. I like it.
So I did that, and it went pretty well.
Oh, did it?
Start a gay cooking show called Bottom Chef. Hello? Hello? What happened?
You almost killed Brendan.
Oh, we were laughing really hard at Bottom Chef. That's
really
that's what happened.
Yeah.
I think you're lying. Number six, invent robot skin, parentheses, for protection.
I like that.
Do you wear it or the robots?
I wear the robot skin.
So you're not worried about protecting your robots?
God damn it, Charlie. I wear the robot skin in this house, and I say no car for your birthday.
I have not gotten anywhere on this particular project.
Nothing at all?
I mean, I have the drawing, but...
I mean, that's somewhere. That's not nowhere.
It's pretty conceptual. Take advantage of the latest craze, the 3D craze, by inventing pop-down books.
They pop into the book?
They pop down. Into your lap. Much like Vince's mom.
Oh! Yeah, she's non-Euclidean, too.
Mm. Figure out what happened to ODB, perhaps referencing Cold Case.
That would make a good Cold Case.
Dark.
Make porn parodies of porn parodies. This isn't your father's, this isn't your father's, Spaceball. Not the Brady's Triple X, not the Brady's Triple X. Not Three's Company.
Ooh, that could be Three's Company.
I think I'm safe there, right? Satire?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fair use for sure.
Totally safe. Fix Apple Maps. That went away. That was a shame.
Is that because of you?
Can't fix that anymore. January was a long month for Apple. Ask more girls if they like to party. I have been doing that, and they do. Kind of a win-win. The worst one on this list we'll just end with. Make a film called RGO. And if you can figure out why I would make a film called RGO, you probably win a door prize of some kind. I'll send you a free book, signed.
As Kindle? Is it a signed Kindle? That'd be kind of cool.
Yep, signed on my Kindle.
Ergo?
Rugo.
Rugo.
RGO.
Argo?
Yeah, okay, you've got one of them.
Argo? No?
Yeah, it's after Argo, but what else? Okay, I'll just break it down for you. There's
like R-go.
So Arkansas's gone.
There's been a film called Fargo. There's been a film called Argo. There's been a film called Go.
Right.
And there's been a film called O. And all of these were pretty big films.
What was the O?
O is that one where they learned to dance, right?
What?
They never did dance.
No, O is the one that's the modern day reinterpretation of Othello.
Yes.
Oh, that is right. Oh, yeah.
Vince. Oh,
but they do dance. 2001, Julia Stiles.
Yeah.
See, and so I think
Rigo, she a sex symbol, by the way.
I like Julia Stiles.
Really, she's got that like those like retainer teeth that are kind of like.
I like the retainer teeth.
So you would hit that.
Kind of got a big flat face.
I like the big flat face.
She got a big flat face.
Everyone would hit that.
When
here.
She
Come
was
on.
In Honey, and what was the one that she was in? Was it Honey? What was it?
My
the
dreams.
One where she dances?
No, it was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. No, Save the Last Dance.
Save the Last Dance, yeah. She's in that.
Honey,
that
was, Save the Last Dance.
That was on cable the other day, and it's like there's some scenes where she's dancing all sexy like and braless, and it's like she's not like unattractive, but she's definitely not like this svelte hard body that's going to look good dancing without
I mean,
a bra.
You still caught a beat, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. 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 Yeah.
She was pretty good in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
See? All right, so finish it off.
No, that was it.
Finish me off, bro.
So there was Argo, Fargo.
Fargo, Argo, Go, and O.
Yeah, so Rigo will win Oscars.
So there's RGO.
That's the last combination of those letters?
I think it is. I mean, there's Far, but Far and Away, Tom Cruise. I don't know.
That's a
stretch. They can't all be first-round draft picks. It was a January list.
Garfield. That was a that didn't turn out so well.
Jesus Christ, you knew that starting out. You knew in your heart that that wasn't going to work.
This ain't this ain't
Bravit Greep.
This ain't this ain't the Partridge Family.
It's not the Partridge Family.
That's what I'm saying. Let me everybody just... not does Raymond anyway. You get the idea.
I would never watch that porno.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would.
Raymond, where should I put this?
Oh, yeah. Yuck.
That guy made so much money off
starring
that show.
Patricia Beaton. What else is that? Have you seen anything else coming out this week?
I saw The Gatekeepers.
What are these that? Movies?
That's Ben's people beating down the Palestinians.
Oh.
Boom.
No,
you guys yeah. are
that's
people.
A documentary.
It's pretty awesome. I won't lie.
Better than Five Broken Cameras?
I don't think I saw that.
I didn't see that either, but that's about the same thing, isn't it? Like the cameras are broken because like the Jews came in and broke them and are like, hey, get out of here, Arab, and kicked him
Vince's,
in the pants.
Vince's film critiquing it involves him reading about the movie and then...
I see at least two a week, so...
What did you see this week?
I saw Side Effects, and I have like three screeners that I haven't gotten to yet.
Larry, so you collected a couple movies on your counter.
Larry, well, I've seen one. Well, it's only halfway through the week.
Have you seen the new Die Hard?
It's hump
Larry.
Day. That's what Wednesday is.
Nah, I see it Tuesday.
New Die Hard Tuesday?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Die Hard. I see
with Safe Haven tomorrow.
What's that?
Die Hard with the boner is just rigor mortis. You can't fight it. It's just going to happen.
Nicholas Sparks Safe Haven tomorrow, guys. You want to
oh,
go?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit, dog.
Yep.
I guarantee someone is going to turn down, will have turned down a scholarship for something somewhere. In order to stay with her family in a small town.
Oh, God. Just in the hopes that someone returns from war or whatever.
They're always doing that. They're like, oh, yeah, I was a championship rhythmic gymnast. Going to go to Juilliard. But then my mom got sick.
Yeah, dude. That I think that's where they belong.
It's, would you like to save a nest of sea turtles?
Jesus.
I guess originally... It was they kind of screwed up the adaptation because Nicholas Sparks meant it as Safe Haven, and it was about, interestingly enough, the Israeli-Palestinian problem. Safe was the lead character, and she right. was having a bad time.
Someone threw someone threw acid on her face.
Yeah, she
raped.
Was having a tough go of it.
Yeah, it was an honor acid throwing.
Jesus Christ.
But what? Then they made it Safe Haven, which is not nearly as good.
But it's not me. You talked to Nick Sparks.
Remember when we were at that party and you told the girl that Nicholas Sparks was garbage and then she didn't back down?
No.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was
really
uncomfortable for everyone who wasn't you or that girl. It was deeply, deeply unsettling.
Where were we? I don't remember that.
Oh, I don't fucking know. But you said Nicholas Sparks was garbage in sort of your offhand smug film critic way, yeah. which isn't wrong because yeah. he makes garbage for garbage people. Yeah. And she turns to you and goes, "What have you done?" Like
I've not done Nicholas Sparks movies.
Yeah, I got that going for me.
Yeah. So then you guys had it out, and it got very real.
Hey, if she wants to have it out about my offhand comments about Nick Sparks, it's funny because people are like, "Oh, movies are so bad." I think you will get way more.
Wait,
depressed.
No, I agree with that.
Brennan's back.
Yeah, I'm your straw man.
Oh yeah, but if you compare the top 10 movies to like the top 10 best-selling books at any given time, I can almost guarantee you that the top 10 books will make you way more depressed,
dude. So this asshole, there's a DICE conference going on, which is like a game design conference. So this guy gave
it's
a whole
an
speech.
Andrew Dice Clay conference. Yeah.
Hey,
video games.
This guy gave a whole speech about how we need to grow up as an industry, which is true. Is
hickory dickory dock. Sorry. I'm sorry, Brett. Sorry, buddy. I love you.
Anyway, his complaint was the top 30 games were all juvenile and based around exploding people. Dude, have you watched any movies or seen the blockbuster? Yeah. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, you want to make a complaint that people are idiots, that's great. Don't try and go for this mid-brow sort of, oh, yeah, like people are trying to be too smart and end up too just like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, charts are dumb.
Have you played this Logos game, dude?
Nope.
Logo Quiz? Oh, my God, it's so addictive. It's crazy.
What do they happen?
Is that the final form of capitalism where its wings emerge
and
the chrysalis falls away and you realize that everything has been a lie? It's all about grinding you up into powder.
I mean, its basic concept is they show you the Pepsi logo and you type in Pepsi and you're good. But it gets so hard when you are at the higher levels because you're like, I know I've seen that. Someone has tried to market that to me, but I can't name it.
You've already lost when you start that game. You realize there's no there's no possible win scenario for that.
You start to realize all car logos look the same, which is strange, and all tech logos look the same. Anyway, all right, don't play it. Fuck you guys.
That's like playing the Fall of Civilization, where you're the Roman holding back the Northern Horde, and you're like, ah, fuck it. You know, we're a little overextended. Maybe I just start a fiefdom here. And then you single-handedly initiate the Dark Ages. That's what you were doing.
You get to
with
control the lion.
You guys, the heart wants what it wants.
Yeah.
The heart wants what it wants.
All right, bro. Well,
yeah.
You know, it? I think we've ground you up. We ground you up and we...
Good luck with the book.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, I don't think you plugged it that well. You didn't sell
it. Say where it is.
You didn't have a great elevator pitch.
Film critic, a decade behind the scenes of the movie industry by Laramie Legal.
Where?
At Kindle, Amazon.com, or you can just type in Laremy.com. That'll
get you
there. This
is Film Critic. Did you have a typo in the title?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Did you spell check this?
Oh, you're forevermore Film Critic.
Isn't that an Aphex Twin song where it's like... Doo, 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 doo,
doo, doo, doo, no wonder that URL was available, Laramie.
Damn it.
Flim.
If you go type in my full name to Amazon, you'll get there. And if you type in Film Critic to Amazon, you'll get there. And guess what I'm charging? Do you want to guess?
$7.97.
$9.48.
For a Kindle copy, I'm charging $450.
$12.96.
I only need to sell one.
$8.27.
$12.97.
Laramie the film blogger, Laramie the football player signed with Ole Miss today.
I saw that. Laramie Tunsil. I want to give a shout out.
Quite a coup for Ole Miss.
Do you know how many tweets I've gotten asking me to sign places, by the way? A lot.
That's awesome.
They're asking you to sign with Film Drunk.
People think I'm Laramie Tunsil all the time. Because I'm a 6'5 black guy who can block.
It's true.
Fact. I've seen him. I've seen him in life.
Anyway, if you want to read a lot of stories about Vince's penis, please buy the book. They're all in
That's
there.
That's the whole second half of the book.
They're all myths. Hey-o.
Hey-o. All right, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Take care, Laramie.
Finally, the Laramie has come back to the Frogcast.
Do you know how to operate a lathe?
The prodigal Laramie has returned.
Where's my sheep, you fuck?
Bring it.
Bring the sheep back. Bring it back to me.
All right, buddy.
Bye bye.
You smell us later. I flipped it.
Vince's shirt.
That a lot.
It's like a Rocco's Modern Life teacher.
Vince's shirt is the worst shirt. He's buttoning it up like he's got somewhere to go. Like it's a very important end of the broadcast because he's got an interview. It is the worst shirt I've ever seen.
I would argue it's more like a Kramer shirt. But
it's terrible.
Rocco's a terrible Modern shirt. Life.
I hope that wasn't a gift. I only mean to insult you and not whoever gave you that shirt.
It's a button-up shirt with like circles on it.
So it's black and it's got sort of like what are they? Are they like
they're like amoeba?
You know when you press your eyes really hard, like really hard, and then you go blind for a second. What you see is what's going on Vince's shirt.
Well, it's not like I was wearing it to a hot date.
You're buttoning it up like you got places to go.
No, I'm buttoning it up because I'm going to go ride my bike home and it's cold.
It's time to get dressy.
This is going to be a classic.
It's a formal bike ride.
Business, Vince.
Oh, it has a name on it, and the name is Frederico Chavez. That's who owned this shirt before.
He's dead now.
I'm sure he is.
Wait, did he write it in marker?
No, it's like dot matrix printer font. Where did you find that? You had to tear the perforations off this, off each edge of that before.
They probably put that. They probably printed that on his, you know,
death certificate.
Yeah, exactly.
They had to match that to his toe. Yeah. His,
should we bury him in a suit? This is really all he owned. Nah, sell it.
No, this shirt's not classy enough.
Take it to Goodwill.
I got the
Goodwill. More like didn't even have a will.
Oh, brutal. I got the Good Weather basketball team blue shirt that I love pretty deeply. And I forget because I got it because the basketball has legs, and I thought that's funny, and I bought it from Goodwill, and I forget that it has the dude's name on the back written in magic marker, and so people will either ask me, "Oh, did you play for that team?" and I have no idea what they're talking about, or they'll say, "Hey, Charlie."
The best was Vince and I went to the Goodwill one time. We decided we were going to be never nudes for Beta Breakers one year. And so we went to the Goodwill to buy trench coats to wear because it was going to be cold. So we wore trench coats over our never nude costumes. And I paid $7 for mine. And then I got outside and I tried it on. And there were $8 in the pocket.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. So you got paid to take a trench coat out of there.
Yep.
That's a good deal. I would think they'd search the pockets.
So wait, did the trench coat continue to produce $8?
No.
It was one time.
But the next time I went in the pockets, I found like a snotty tissue, which was a little bit alarming.
Not as good as $8.
Probably a dead guy's mucus.
Yeah.
Some dead
snot. And there was definitely bodily fluids on there. It was like...
Well, it is
like
a trench coat.
It was like blood or blood snot, you know, slurry or whatever.
Some combination of blood and snot. Right. Mucus. I don't know what the ratio was, but...
Some sort of mucus cocktail.
It was gross. It was a really gross ratio. Yeah.
So... I feel like I earned that net $1
blood slurry.
Yeah.
Well, I've absorbed most of this DNA.
Well, I mean, it was like getting paid to do a lab experiment.
Right.
From Goodwill. Who wants to own this dead guy stuff? It's a lab experiment. Can we end it?
Would you like to?
Why not?
Yeah.
We'll hopefully get Jessup. Is that his name?
Yeah, Jessup.
Get him on next week, hopefully.
If you're in the LA area, February 27th, don't forget, me and Joe are going to be performing with Paul Scheer, Maria Bamford, and possibly Eric Andre. So that's pretty fucking...
That's awesome.
That's some pretty heavy hitters.
Nice work, man.
Yeah.
How'd you pull that off,
Joe?
Oh, my wrists are tired.
It's Joe.
No, it wasn't Joe.
Joe did it.
It wasn't Joe. I got Joe on this show, actually. Yeah, I got him on the show.
The prophecy is fulfilled.
Yeah, yeah. The student has become the master. Brendan, will you save this silence?
Oh yes, I was waiting to be invited.
That's just hanging over the room.
All right,
sexy fog.
Thanks to our guest Laramie, we'll have our gentleman reporter friend from Fresno with the firsthand account of Kai on a future Frotcast to be named later.
Indeed,
so until next week, keep the emails coming. Frotcast@gmail.com. Vince, what's the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030. The country code is 1 for all you abroadsters. Keep the
abroads. Like
keep them coming.
Gangster.
We love your voicemails. It makes us happy in our pants.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
And until next week, good night and good chins.
Yeah.